Right.
Okay.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue today with our study of the Holy Spirit in the Book of Heaven. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? In the last session, we went through some parts of the Catechism, trying to understand the teaching of the Church about the Holy Spirit, and we went through some passages. We know that it belongs to the Holy Spirit to rule, to sanctify, and to animate all creation, to keep all creation together, to keep all, we can say, that machine, that when that extra from God in creation, God creating. And we see also in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 358 that it tells us God created everything for us, and we in return as creatures have to love him, to serve him, and to offer all creation back to him. And that includes ourselves, to offer ourselves back to him. And who keeps this, all this, again, this machine going is the Holy Spirit that animates creation, right? It is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, continuing, keeping creation together, preserving it. In the Father and through the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit animating, sanctifying. And that's what the Church teaches in 703 in the Catechism. And also in 7797, this is what the Church says about the Holy Spirit. It says, what the soul is to the human body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ, which is the whole Church. We know that the soul is what gives life to the body, that once the soul goes away from the body, out from the body, then we become corpses. And it is the Spirit of God that animates again. And not only that animates and keeps everything in action together, but it also sanctifies. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to make us whole, to prepare us through the sacraments so that we can return back to the Father, sanctify, meaning purify, getting ready. Not the old self, but the new self entering now into the bosom of God. We read last session, the passage where our Lord Jesus reveals to Elizabeth Garreta the first words of Adam as he fell, Adam, as he fell, the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, infusing his nostrils, how he was compelled immediately to say, I love you too. Thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. I love you. He needed to know love first in order to reciprocate that. So I explained to you that probably the first word, the way he infused, probably the way God the Father infused his Holy Spirit was by issuing the word, I love you. And when God says I, meaning the Holy Trinity loving Adam, and through the Father willing to say, I love you, then the word is formed and the Holy Spirit is the force. So you see, infused with love, with the whole love of the Blessed Trinity, that's one way to see it. So we see that God fashioned man with his own hands, that is the Son and the Holy Spirit, in that way we understand it, and impress in the flesh, and the way we can say the vehicle through which this life came into the nostrils and the flesh of Adam was through the love, through the I love you. That's why he was compelled to say also, I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. He was able to correspond, because how could he be able to correspond if he didn't have the love of God first into him? And this goes exactly with what St. Paul will tell us, that the love of God has been put into our hearts through the word of, through the Holy Spirit. So if the love of God is being put into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the first, this happens in baptism, we can say that in creation, when God tells Adam, I love you, right? When he infuses, that's one way to say it, infuses his love, the love of the Trinity in him, then he reciprocates, I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. That's the correspondence, and is the Holy Spirit allowing Adam to reciprocate that love that he first receives. So, the church is animated then by the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and it is entrusted to the Holy Spirit, all the members, which we are. That's why in baptism, that life begins, we become new creation in Christ through the Holy Spirit, who is present in all the sacraments. So the Holy Spirit is the principle of every vital and truly saving action, in which each part of the body participates. That's also the teaching of the church. And the Holy Spirit, here is very important, something really important also in 1995 in the Catechism, is the Holy Spirit, who is the master of the interior life. We mentioned in the past somebody like Brother Lawrence and his method to be aware of that, the practical presence of God, right? In our life, the practice of the presence of God, meaning to be aware that God is with us. And I mentioned also that Brother Lawrence, at the end of his life, when he understood that if he was aware that God was with him, that he was doing everything for him out of love for him, that he became aware that he was always there in the presence of God, whether he was peeling potatoes, saying his prayers in the chapel, at Mass. And he, at the end of his life, he says, then I learned how to live here on earth what I should be doing in heaven in all eternity, praising, adoring God, just by being, right? This was what his reply when they asked him, how could he keep his mind busy with all of this while doing his chores? And he said simply, I am doing what I shall do through all eternity, blessing God, praising God, adoring God, giving him the love of my whole heart. And it is our one business, he says, my brethren, to worship him and to love him without thought of anything else. Still here, there is something that is missing here, the idea of offering back everything to him. He arrived to a very good understanding of what the divine will is, but there is something missing still here. The idea of returning ourselves, giving ourselves back to him in for the purpose of the coming of the kingdom also. What the saints possess is they do everything out of love for God. They want to, they have a right to that, what the spiritual writers call the third conversion. Three ways that the soul has to go through. And this is true for the saints, and it's true for all of us. What are the three conversions? The first conversion is the conversion of the mind. St. Paul calls us to renew, not to be conformed to the present age, but to be renewed, right? In Christ, to renew our mind with Christ. So basically, the understanding of the faith to change the way we think and to enlighten our mind, to have the mind of Christ. And that comes through the teachings of his church and the gospel, the word. Once we enter into that conversion of the mind, the soul has to go to the press also to the conversion of the moral conversion, which is the way now we behave, basically through the Ten Commandments. And once we enter it, we go through that second conversion, we arrive at the third conversion, which is the conversion of the heart. I will give you a new heart. I will place my spirit in you. So once we arrive to this third conversion, every soul must arrive to this conversion before we encounter death. This is the journey of the soul that every baptized person should follow, and we have to be aware of this. And it's a clear map that the soul has to follow, and we see this in the Book of Heaven also. That Luisa Picaretta is instructed in the doctrine of the divine will. Luisa Picaretta is instructed in the doctrine of the divine will, so now she has to learn how to offer everything back to God. This is what we see in the first volumes, that catechesis in the divine will. And then it will be easier to arrive, of course, in her state, right? She still had to go to confession, we see that. And she still has to go through that moral conversion. And to arrive to the conversion of the heart, meaning that we now do everything other for love of God and for the kingdom to come. This is what is new with her. That now our Lord Jesus tells her everything from now on, the first purpose is for the kingdom to come. Yes, you love God, everything is for the love of God and for the kingdom to descend upon earth. And this is again the journey, we can say the journey of the soul that we all have to go through. And through the Book of Heaven, we understand this, but it is the action of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the master of the interior life. Once we arrive to this understanding, it will be easier for the Holy Spirit really to guide us, because this way of living in the divine will is the interior life of the soul. And this is the way the, also to crush the old self by picking up our cross, daily crosses, our daily duties in life. Then those crosses become an instrument to crush the old self, to give way for the new self, the spiritual self to arise. Because in the spiritual, I mean, in the heavenly Jerusalem, there is no room for the old self. So this is the beauty of the cross also, that through every single act that we do now, the beauty of living in the divine will, that through every single act that we do united with the divine will, the old self is being crushed a little by little by little. So we enter deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery of that third conversion, the conversion of the heart. And it is what it will give birth to the inner man, is what the church tells us. The Holy Spirit is the master of the interior life, by giving birth to the inner man, right? Then it will be easier for us to live in this way. So it's the action of the Holy Spirit, then we will say, to give us the possession of this gift operating in our souls, the possession of the divine will, and also to form the Blessed Trinity in our acts, in our actions. So this evening, I just want to also remember that there are specific passages. One of the key passages to understand now why we have to develop this devotion to acknowledge the Holy Spirit and to really recognize the Holy Spirit as the master of the interior life. We can say as the spiritual director, really, our spiritual director. Once we learn to live in this way, we will need only co the confessors, basically, the sacraments. Because who is guiding is the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for every human person, for every soul to have a spiritual director. That is simply not enough. And with enough formation. So that's why even in the Old Testament, it tells us that it will be the Holy Spirit who will cause to prophesy. I will give the Holy Spirit, I will give you a new heart. So it is the Holy Spirit now who becomes basically the director of the soul. And once we learn to live in this way, we just have to be close to the sacraments, to remain close to the sacraments, because they are the source of grace. And it is through the sacraments that we remain united with Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. It is not individually, and it is through the sacraments that he continues through his Holy Spirit to sanctify us, and our sanctification and salvation depends on this, is hinged on this. So the Holy Spirit then is what is as what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do specifically. The Holy Spirit, first of all, we say, or the Book of Heaven tells us in May 4, 1925, Volume 70, that the Holy Spirit will make display of his love, manifesting the secrets, the prodigies of the will of God, the goodness it contains, to make happy those who will give themselves to knowing how much the Supreme Will contains. So we are to give ourselves, to offer ourselves now for the doctrine of the divine will. And this implies that we have to apply, to enter into that first conversion now again, learning how to offer everything back to him through this way of living. And if we do that immediately, we will it will be easier, right? If we remain in united with the sacraments, it will be easier to ascend to the conversion, the moral conversion, to remain close to the sacraments, to know that in order for us to live in this way, we have to be in the state of grace as much as we can, and to strive to do that. Not to be complacent, just to remain in sin, but to strive to really do our part, so that the love of God, who is a person, by the way, the love of God is a person, is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, is manifested there. God manifests his love through creation, through redemption, through sanctification, but the love of God is a person, is the Holy Spirit, because it's the love of the Father and the Son, is the third person. And that love is being put into our hearts and is put in charge of us to guide us, is guiding the church. And it is able to do it. And it's asking us just to give ourselves to The study basically of the divine will. Offering our souls, it is offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts. Again, this idea of offering back to Him. Now we have to offer our souls. You see that this is a deeper now. This is deeper in going deeper into the mystery. First of all, we have to the Catechism tells us we have to offer all creation back to Him, and we are part of creation. We are creatures, so as creatures, we have to offer ourselves, our acts. But now, specifically here, the Holy Spirit is asking us to offer our souls, to offer first of all our minds to the study and understanding of the divine will. And He says He will give us that light. He will reveal to us the secrets. And then that we have to offer our souls so that it may dwell in our hearts. So that it may be able to form the very life of the Blessed Trinity in us. Because God wants to give nothing else but Himself. He wants to give us the highest good, and He is the supreme good. So He wants to give Himself. The Blessed Trinity wants to be formed completely in our hearts. We will go to that now. If you have your the Book of Heaven is passage is volume 11, June 12, 1913. The title of this passage is The Effects of Fusing Oneself in Jesus, the Most Holy Trinity is Formed in the Souls. Luisa Picaretta writes, "While I was praying, I was uniting my mind to the mind of Jesus, my eyes to those of Jesus, and so with all the rest." So we understand that she was united, uniting all herself. And so all the rest with the intention of doing what Jesus did with his mind, with his eyes, with his mouth, with his heart, and so forth. And as it seemed that the mind of Jesus, his eyes, etc., diffuse for the good of all, it seemed that I too will diffuse for the good of all, uniting in identifying myself with Jesus. Now I thought to myself, what kind of mediation is this? What prayer? And I am no longer good at anything. I am not even capable of reflecting on something. While I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus told me, my daughter, what you are a afflicting yourself with this. Instead of afflicting yourself, you should rejoice because when you used to meditate and many beautiful reflections used to arise within your mind, you will do nothing but take from me part of my qualities and of my virtues. Now, since the only thing left to you is being able to unite and identify yourself with me. You take the whole of me, good at nothing as you are. With me, you are good at everything. See? By uniting ourselves, identifying ourselves with our Lord Jesus, then our nothingness, our usefulness, our imperfection, then we can say, good in everything if we unite ourselves with Him. Because with me, you want the good of all, and the mere desiring and wanting good produces a strength in the soul which makes her grow and settles her in the divine life. See, the intention of wanting to do good produces in the soul that strength, that energy, So, how much more when we want to unite ourselves in the divine will, it produces that goodness in the soul, that energy that immediately places the soul, the nothingness of the soul, into the everything of God or the divine will, the Blessed Trinity. The will of the Blessed Trinity. When we talk about the divine will, we are talking about the will of the Blessed Trinity. One will, one God, three divine persons. Then, by united with me and identifying with me, the soul unites with my mind, produces many lives and holy thoughts in the minds of creatures. As she unites with my eyes, she produces many lives of holy gazes in the creatures. So, as many times we unite ourselves with the will of God in our eyes and our senses, as many times our Lord Jesus basically is able to bilocate in our eyes, to see in our eyes, to think in our thoughts, to palpitate in our hearts, to beat in our hearts, to breathe in us, and so forth. Then it says, if she unites with my mouth, she will give life to the words. If she unites to my heart, to my desires, to my hands, to my steps, at every heartbeat, she will give a life, life to desires, to actions, to steps, holy lives, because I contain the creative power within me. And therefore, together with me, the soul creates and does whatever I do. So this idea of uniting ourselves, the desire of being united with God constantly, but we now know that this desire to be united with God is for the purpose of the kingdom to descend. For the kingdom to descend upon earth. Is the very fact that we are uniting ourselves is with our Lord Jesus because we love God, but now we do everything for the purpose for the kingdom to descend upon earth as he reigns in heaven for the fulfillment of the Our Father, basically. That we study in previous sessions, so it's well known to us, it should be part of us. Then, now this union within me, we are going to enter into the heart of what I wanted to talk, because we were talking about that the Holy Spirit has the mission to form the Blessed Trinity in our hearts, because this is what Adam possessed from the beginning. And for our Lord Jesus, his mission was to restore us, to reconcile us. And the mission of the Holy Spirit is to form that image again, that image that was basically darkened in our souls, that now in baptism becomes clear, and that through sin, again, it becomes blurry. The Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit is to make that image so clear, to form that image so clear in us. Now, this union with me, part to part, mind to mind, heart to heart, etc., produces in you, in the highest degree, the life of my will and of my love. This is the highest degree in which, basically, the love of God can be put into our heart. This is the highest degree of, the highest degree that the soul can possess while here on earth. And in this will, this is what happens. In this will, being united in the divine will, in the will of the Blessed Trinity, possessing this by desire and by uniting ourselves with him, as he mentioned before. Identifying with him, uniting and identifying, that produces that strength in the soul. In this will, he says, which will? The will of the divine, the Blessed Trinity, the divine will, is in capital. In this will, the Father is formed. So the Father is forming us, we can say, in the soul, because we know that the human will is represent, or the Father is represented in us in the human will. So now it says the Father is formed, and in this love, the Holy Spirit also is formed. And through the operations, the works and thoughts and everything else that can come from this will and from this love, the Son is formed. You see how the Blessed Trinity is being formed? By uniting ourselves, by having that constant desire and identifying ourselves, desiring and identifying with the will of God, wanting to do everything in that union. Then he says the soul unites, and then the will of the Father basically is forming us. We can say, in a simple way, we can say that the will of the Father enters into the human will, and then the Holy Spirit, right, is formed. The love, that love descends in the heart, and the Holy Spirit is in there. And through the acts, it says, through that acts, through the thoughts, through everything else that can come from this will, which will, the will of God operating in the soul. And from this love, the Son is formed. Why? Because the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, is the only one who became flesh. So it is through the actions, basically, of the will of God operating in the flesh. Because it was through the actions of the will of God operating in our Lord Jesus in the flesh that we were redeemed. And it is through the actions, again, of the divine will, but now operating in the creature, that he continues his work of salvation in the world through us. So we really become instruments of the divine will, and then we arrive to the fulfillment of our baptismal grace, which is to be with him priest. And the role of the priest is to be mediators between God and the whole human race. He's the high priest. By the way, that's not the sacramental priesthood that we are talking about. We are talking about the common priesthood. So in this way, in living in the divine will, we see that the common priesthood is fulfilled. The promises of our baptism are fulfilled, because then again, that second person of the Blessed Trinity says is being formed in us. How? Through the actions. So it's important to understand that it is through the actions that the second person of the Blessed Trinity is able to operate. That's why it is important. It is only when we are alive that he is able to operate in us, that the divine will is able to operate in us. That's why it's so pivotal that we don't lose any moment, that we must give ourselves, that we must learn how to do what the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in 358, and what Saint Paul tells us, to offer ourselves as a spiritual sacrifice. Just give me a sec, because I have that reference right here. Actually, it's part of the second reading today during the Mass, for the Sunday Mass. So this is straight from the letter of Saint Paul to the Romans 12, 1 to 2. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. This idea of offering back And now we offer our will, and as we have seen, who is in charge now of forming this? We will see. So let's go back again and try to now see the whole passage. So now this union with me, part to part, mind to mind, heart to heart, etc., we can add all that we do in our humanity, all everything that is not sin, produces in the highest degree the life of my will and of my love in the creatures. In this will, meaning in the divine will, the Father is formed. And in his love, the Holy Spirit is formed also in the creatures. And through the operation, the operating, meaning to the works, the thoughts, and everything else that can come from this will and from this love, the Son is formed. Where? In the creature. And there is the Trinity in the souls, right there. So if we need to operate, it is indifferent whether we operate in the Trinity in heaven or in the Trinity within the souls on earth. Imagine that. That once we enter in this complete union, it is indifferent, meaning that the Blessed Trinity is able to operate in the soul as it operates in heaven. This is huge. This is very deep. This is why I keep taking everything else away from you. Be they even good and holy things, to be able to give you the best and the holiest. Because remember, he says the highest, this is what produces the best, the highest degree of the divine life in the person, in the soul, while here on earth. And God, again, as I mentioned, he wants to give the best to the creatures, the highest good, and he himself is the highest good, the supreme good. So basically, he wants to give himself, and he's telling us this. And who is the one who is animating this in the soul? The Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps all creation, who animates all creation. We are part of creation. So that means that it is the Holy Spirit who keeps animating us. And that comes straight from the Catechism 703. So you hopefully you can see the action of the Holy Spirit in living in this way. Again, this is why I keep taking everything else away from you. Be they even good, be, excuse me, be they even good and holy things. Why? To be able to give you the best and the holiest, which is I. And he says, I is again the Blessed Trinity. The Blessed Trinity wants to give everything that God is. God wants to give everything that He is to the creature. And to be able to make of you another myself. He mentioned above that He wants to make of us the Blessed Trinity in the souls, basically, another Trinity outside of the Blessed Trinity. Now in the soul, the Blessed Trinity ad extra. And to be able to make of you another myself as much as it is possible for the creature. This is very important. As much as it is possible for the creature. Always we have to keep this in mind because when Adam and Eve were formed, they were always growing in constantly according to their capacity. And this is the same with us. I believe you won't lament anymore, the Lord says to Luisa, will you? And I, Jesus, that's what Isa Picaretta says, and I, Jesus, I feel rather that I have become awful bad, and that the worst is that I am unable to find this badness of mine, for at least I will do anything I can do to cast it away. And Jesus tells her, enough. Right, enough. Stop thinking about that. Think of me, and I will take care of your badness too. Just focus in me. We go back to the idea that our passage, our foundational passage, tells us to give ourselves to the study of the divine will and to offer our souls as the vessel for this grace, basically. To offer our souls for the vessel of the divine will to be the vessels of the divine will to descend. So hopefully you can see some progression here from the previous classes and from the previous sections that, first of all, is not only now the idea of offering everything back to him for the coming of the kingdom, now also offering ourselves, everything that we are, our minds, to the study of the divine will, for the Holy Spirit to keep moving in us, animating that in us, and also to offer our souls as vessels for the gift to descend upon us, and for the Holy Spirit to form the Blessed Trinity in us. And specifically, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity, as it was mentioned in this passage that we just read, is formed through the actions of the creatures operating in union with this will of the Blessed Trinity. What saddens the Holy Spirit, or what impedes the growth of this divine life in the creatures, is sin, is the teaching of the church. What impedes the growth of the spiritual growth is sin, right? And thanks be to God that He left us, our Lord Jesus, instituted the sacraments as a way again to be able to go over and over again and again back to receive that grace and to be sustained and to receive that strength that we all need. So I just want to go very briefly. You can go in more detail, but I want just to go very briefly and to touch upon the sacraments and what is being said about this in relation to the Holy Spirit, and is in volume 18, November 5th, 1925. The title of this passage is The Moans of the Holy Spirit in the Sacraments. I just wanted to mention this part. You can go and read. I encourage you to go and read the whole thing. But this is what the Lord says to Luisa Picaretta regarding the sacraments. Let's read since the beginning. It says, I was fusing myself in the divine volition according to my usual way. We already know how she used to fuse herself. And while I was trying as much as I could to requite or to correspond by Jesus with my little love for all that he has done in redemption, my love of Jesus, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, with your flight in my will, reach all the sacraments instituted by me. Descend into the depths of them to give me your little requital. of love, your correspondence of love, basically. And how many of my secret tears you will find, and how many bitter sighs, how many suffocated moans of the Holy Spirit. His moaning is continuous before the many delusions of our love. And then he says the sacraments were instituted in order to continue my life on earth in the midst of my children. So we recall what our Lord Jesus was doing here on earth was healing, was restoring. So we have the sacraments of healing, right? The sacrament of baptism heals us from the original sin, which is separation from God. It unites us to God, and it opens the soul for the Blessed Trinity to dwell in the heart of the creatures. So we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. And we see the sacrament of confession, anointing of the sick, it heals us. We call them the sacraments of healing. And then the sacraments of initiation, they initiate us in the life of Christ. So the sacraments continue the life of our Lord Jesus here on earth. And then he says, but alas, how many sorrows! This is why I feel the necessity of your little love. It may be small, but my will make it great. My love does not tolerate for one who must live in my will not to associate herself with my sorrows, and not to give me her requirals or their little correspondence of love for all that I have done and that I suffer. Therefore, my daughter, see how many love moans in the sacraments. So you will see, we can go by one by one. I encourage you to go in there and to see. But here, our Lord Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit is being suffocated. If the Holy Spirit is, which is the object of our study here in this section, is suffocated, how can the Holy Spirit then form the Blessed Trinity in us, as we saw in the last passage? It will not be free. There will be impediments. That's why, again, we go back to the foundational passage to give ourselves to the study and to offer ourselves as the containers for this grace to descend. And thus, also for us, the need to be in the state of grace as much as we can, and also to develop a deep devotion for the Holy Spirit. There is a passage there that I just put a little note in the last part, but it comes from Volume 35, November 20th, 1937. You have the book, is at the end of the lesson. It says, O Supreme Will, come, O Supreme Volition, to reign upon earth, invest all generations, win and conquer all. We can make that individually. And to say, Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come, Supreme Will, form the Blessed Trinity in us, reign upon our souls, invest us all, and conquer us all. So I think with this, we can end our class today. Just having in mind that we have to correspond not only for the words of redemption, but also to correspond for every sacrament that our Lord Jesus instituted, not only for what he suffered, but for all that he instituted, his sacraments. And he tells us here that That's why I feel the necessity of your love to correspond in the sacraments. So let us ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His grace. Let us offer ourselves constantly to the Holy Spirit as instruments of His love. Let us become His instruments so that He can do with us, really, He can complete His mission in us. He may continue animating all that we have received and may continue to grow in us. And make it the Holy Spirit bring it to perfection in our souls, knowing that what is what the Holy Spirit wants to form in us, the Blessed Trinity in the soul. So is the mission of the Holy Spirit to form the Blessed Trinity in the soul. It is the mission of the Holy Spirit to take us through those three conversions: the conversion of the mind, the moral conversion, the conversion of the heart. When we arrive to the conversion of the heart, basically, I will say, is living in the divine will now with this understanding. And if we arrive to the conversion of the heart, then that prophecy is being fulfilled in us. I will give you a new heart. Yes, because we will be palpitating with the heart of Jesus in us. And of course, we'll be directed by the Holy Spirit. We just need the sacraments always, always. Therefore, we will need the church always, always. And we see that progression now of the soul, the journey of the soul entering into the mystery, fusing itself, getting lost into the immensity of the divine will in the church. So let us ask the Blessed Mother to give us the grace to keep just climbing the spiritual ladder, to keep entering and moving forward and pressing forward into the mystery of the divine will. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.